We don't have a general manager yet. We're just going to wait a minute and see if he shows up here in a minute. Thank you, Director Behringer. I'm sure that Mr. Gruber will be here shortly. All right. I'd like to call this meeting, this special meeting of the Board of Directors of Cambria Community Services District to order. If you would please rise and join me with the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you all. We do have a quorum. All four directors are here. And today is a special meeting. We do have listed on the agenda public comment, but it is only on agenda items. I would like to, since there are several different topics on the agenda, though, I do want to take these when they're appropriate to be taken. So there isn't going to be public comment on items not on the agenda because it's a special meeting, but we will take the public comment in order of the agenda, if that's...
That's great.
Thank you. There are public comment request slips in the entryway. Please make sure you've silenced any electronic devices before we begin so we don't get disturbed by that. Of course, we're probably already disturbed. Yes, Director Wharton?
Just before we get started, I want to point out the fact that last week we were without Haley Dodson. And the reason for that is I want to acknowledge this big milestone in her life, Bachelor of Science. She graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Office Administration in Technology from Valdosta State University in Georgia. So congratulations, Haley.
And here I just thought you were on vacation. Thank you very much, Director Wharton. I appreciate that acknowledgement. So today we are here the primary reason we're here is to fill the vacancy created by the resignation of Director Sanders. But we have a few other items on the agenda, one which I asked to have added, which is 3A. Discussion and consideration of adoption of a policy regarding electronic communications during board meetings. I assume that the board has read this. There were some concerns raised regarding directors sending and or receiving text messages. Near the end of the meeting, we got one saying that we could extend the time of the meeting because you got one from work. So one of the reasons that I wanted to put this on the agenda is I think it's important for the level of trust in the community to show them. It would be considered inappropriate. And so to that end, I asked for this policy to be brought forward for us to discuss. I think there's in the report, maybe Mr. Carmel, could you just speak to the issue really quickly?
Certainly, Madam President. Policies prohibiting the use of cell phones and electronic communication devices are not uncommon in California. They normally have exceptions for emergencies, particularly family emergencies. And we're just looking for direction from the board. If there's a consensus to move forward on this, we'll bring it back at the January meeting.
Director Berenger.
Strangely enough, you wanted to look at the package, and I didn't print it out. So I got an iPad here. My wife just brought it to me. And I noticed some of the things in the package where someone adopted in 2010 some kind of a policy. And I think the world has changed. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I've been a big supporter of getting rid of paper. Mm-hmm. And luckily, and I'm looking at this now, mm-hmm. and I think that with not only 7 years later from the 2010 policy, but the world has changed, and I would like to see more interaction. And one of the things that I find I've done in the past is I might have misspoken on something, mm-hmm. or someone comes to the podium and they say that it should be on the website, and I'd like to be able in real time be able to check that. So I want to make sure that whatever we have is not restrictive. And by the way, at 11:45 yesterday is when I first saw this application, so to take a good consideration of it in the future, but I would say is reasonable. But to bring it back, that might be reasonable. But for sure, I would rather see a policy that encourages electronic devices at the meetings, encourages real-time a Google search perhaps for something that is controversial so that we can answer the question right away. So personally, I use it a lot, and I would almost recommend that as opposed to eliminating them, that the district, I don't need one, I've got one. But if a director needed to have one, I think it would be cheaper to have some kind of a electronic tablet device and not have all this paper and be able to real-time deal with things. I noticed that the crowd is quite minimal compared to the issue at hand, but we're streaming live, and perhaps in the future, maybe not 2018, but we make the whole meeting more interactive from people that aren't even here. So those are my comments on the issue.
Any other directors? Director Farmer.
I just want to say I really appreciate Director Berenger wanting to become, more energy efficient. I guess that's a good way to describe it and not use too much paper. I think we both addressed many, many months ago the thickness of the paper and the amount of paper that we use at these meetings. So I guess the dilemma would be, are we using our devices to, let's say, obtain information or material that is pertinent to what we're discussing versus are we out there communicating with folks and maybe... I don't know quite how to describe this in a diplomatic fashion, but maybe communicating with others to, like, get advice on how to proceed with a particular issue that's on the agenda. It's kind of a fine line in that regard, but I certainly want to acknowledge, like I said, Director Berenger's observation with regard to using technology to our advantage. It's just that I don't want to be skeptical, but we never know how people are going to be using their technology. I just want to put that in there. Thank you.
Director Wharton?
Well, with kids in the school system and a wife that works out of town, when I hear my text go off, I do check it just to see if it is from one of them, and if it's not, I ignore it. So also to speak to Vice President Farmer's comment, seeking advice from outside sources is not just limited to an electronic device. It could be a nod or a shake of the head or a thumbs up from the back of the room. So we need to be careful in what kind of communications we expect to prohibit.
I would argue that a thumbs up or a nod of the head is different than having a text message come in, just in terms of the amount of information that can be communicated. I'm not saying I'm for or against it. The reason it's on the agenda is so that we can have a discussion about whether we want to have staff bring back a policy. My position on this specific thing, because, I mean, I use it too, and I find it to be helpful, and I don't feel like I use it in any way that's deceptive or hiding anything, but that doesn't change the fact that a lot of the community has issues of trust with this board. And one of the things that I learned when I was chair of NCAC, all of a sudden, after 1 month as vice chair, and I went to the county and said, so how do I chair a meeting now? And they said, well, why don't you do a presentation? So I actually did some research about how to chair meetings when they get contentious and how to deal with things when the trust level is low or communication is difficult. And one of the things that I discovered is that the time to make sure that you have really good, strong rules is before you have a problem. That's why the instructions for any good quality game, board game, are in the lid. The only time you refer to the lid is when there's a dispute, when there's a lack of trust, or when the communication is not going well. That's when you do need to have the box top, and that's kind of what this policy, my intention in suggesting the policy, is about, to say to the public, we are working on, we recognize there's issues, both among us and between us and the community, and that this kind of policy would set a tone. It's not like anybody's going to jail over it, but it does speak to the importance that we hold on paying attention to the discussion that's happening during the meeting and not something else. That said, do we want to give direction to staff? Is there consensus to give direction to staff to bring back a policy, whether it's policy that expands our electronic use or creates a policy that... Director Horton?
Well, speaking to Director Behringer, if he wants to fact check, we just say, hey, I'm going to step out of this conversation really quick and just do a quick fact check. And kind of announce his intention with engaging with an electronic device. And for me, like I said, my concerns is, if I have a kid breaks a leg at school or something, I'm going to need to address that. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but
right.
I do need to have that level of communication. And so if we could work that in there, such as how the Arroyo Grande.
Mm-hmm.
I see no exception to it. But, and also speaking to Jim's or Dr. Behringer's is, hey, I want to fact check something, so I'm just going to step out, make it let you know.
Right, right. And then maybe it could be as simple as, for instance, when you get at least on my phone for sure, when I get a call, I can hit a button that says, I'm in a meeting, or I'll call you back, and it's just one click. And if people were to be using a device, I don't think we should say we can only use it on a break. And I don't think we should be fearful of getting messages from people. I'm afraid that that there shouldn't be any fear there. But to acknowledge what you did, perhaps,
be worth having a discussion to have staff bring back some alternatives,
right,
both restrictive and delineate some of the different options available.
I'm sorry about trust.
More specifically.
Some people think there isn't trust, and some people don't trust this board, but there's a lot of people that do.
That's true.
And the board is, I think Director Farmer has found over the time period that the information that's in there is accurate, and it's timely, and there's a lot of stuff there. And there's no hidden agenda, there's no backroom dealing, and at least I haven't seen any. Again, I have to fact check everything. I don't know if there's backroom dealing, if I'm not backroom dealing. But the idea of being able to be reviewing things real time, even if it's, why should we fear extra communication? But maybe, so I'm looking more for trying to have everybody more electronically oriented. If you wanted to have a camera back here or something, maybe that would help. But, you know, I'm not playing games. I'm looking at this thing. So
I think it's more the distraction than
I think a discussion on how we use technology during a board meeting would be worth having staff look at. And maybe we should think about refining that. And rather than, and hopefully if in fact we wait until it's on next month's agenda, perhaps staff could ask for input from each of us so that we don't have staff running around developing something that's not appropriate. I also think it shouldn't go in, we shouldn't have it as a bylaw. It should be a living policy. Maybe we all just agree. All we do is agree not to use our cell phones if that's the problem. But you can get messages on a tablet too. Anyway, I don't want to beat a dead horse to death. Do we have one?
Vice President Farmer?
Thing to speak?
Yes, we have a couple of requests to speak.
I just want to mention with regard to fact-checking, let's say an issue comes up and we want to get a little bit more information. District Clerk has her computer right there, and we could just ask them for that information. And that might eliminate the problem that we're discussing right now.
Mr. Gruber?
That's a good suggestion. However, the District Clerk's role is to take accurate and appropriate minutes, mm-hmm. to make sure the motions and the conversations are captured, not to...
Seems to me that we have enough discussion that bringing it back would be appropriate so that we can have a more complete discussion. Is there any interest in maybe having an ad hoc committee? Are there two members that would like to help with that, or we can just have staff bring it back?
Do we have a technology ad hoc committee already?
Hey.
There we go.
Problem solver right there.
Yeah, why don't we get just so that we provide the proper
direction
to staff.
Because it is the IT.
Staff is busy doing a lot of stuff, and it is the
I know they're very busy. Agreed. All right. I do have a couple of requests to speak. First, start with Mike Lyons, followed by Karen Dean.
Thank you very much. This proposal smacks to me of an attempt at overmanagement and overthinking the subject. It also strikes me as an answer to a question that either hasn't been asked or should not be asked. This technology is very fast moving, and it doesn't seem to me wise to try to preserve a policy in the middle of this fast moving cultural and technological information. I think all of us in the audience assume good faith on the part of the board of directors. I know I do. So when I see somebody looking at their laptop or their pad or their phone, I don't assume that there's some kind of unusual communication, and I don't see anything sinister about it. Contentious ideas are discussed here, and I do believe, in my experience, that the directors pay very close attention to what other directors say. So it's not a matter of diverting one's attention while somebody else is saying something and missing a good point. The last thing I would say is that I'm on the NCAC LUC committee, and frequently members of our committee bring their iPads and laptops to these meetings. They're very valuable in looking up county, federal, and local regulations on the spot. So I think the technology can be a real plus. In short, I think you ought to set aside this proposal altogether. You've got many more important things to tackle, and it seems to me probably a waste of time to continue this.
Thank you. Karen Dean, followed by Don Howell.
Hi, Karen Dean, Cambria. You've kind of changed my opinion of what I was... Oh, I'm sorry. Of what I was going to say. You've all made some very good points about the use of electronic devices. I know I rely on my iPad to do a lot of research. I bring it with me for the agenda and all of that. I don't have a problem with that. But no offense to one director. When I see a director texting when there, a decision and a discussion is being made on something important like a candidate. It makes me think of decades ago when I was in school and people were passing notes and the teacher would take the note and read it out loud to the class. It does make you kind of wonder what someone's doing when they should be paying attention to the an important discussion like that. But I have no problem with using them to check on back documents and research and things like that.
Thank you. Don Howell is my last request to speak on this item.
Thank you. Yes, I think the discussion has moved. I don't think throwing the baby out with the bath here is a good idea. Indeed, we do all depend upon our electronics these days. The issue here is communications between members who may or may not be in this room and the board during the time that the board is conducting business. Now, it would not be an issue so much if we were not streaming live. But since we are streaming live, if the board is receiving communications from people outside, and I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying if the board were, I mean, this is not my idea. Actually, I was taken when Director Beringer was texting the other day, and it basically bad manners, but I did not occur to me that there was another issue. And as Director Rice said, this issue of trust is amazingly important. This is probably the most important thing you have to deal with, because I have to tell you that, yes, many of the community does trust this board, but many of this community, at least I would estimate half, do not. And so anything you can do, I'm not saying that the board has ever done anything wrong, but as you well know, as parents, when your kids start lying to you, then it takes quite a bit before they can regain your trust. So I think maybe going a little overboard on this might be a good idea. Directors should not be permitted to receive communications during the time that the meeting is in session. When you've taken a break or something, that's one thing. But when the meeting is in session, we cannot communicate with you directly. I'm not allowed to enter any kind of a dialogue with any of you. So why should someone outside this room be permitted to do that? So there's my word. Trust is absolutely essential. And as I said, I hadn't thought that anything was amiss other than bad manners. But a number of people came up to me and expressed very, very strong suspicions. So I think this is, well, we should take it. Anyway, there's... Okay.
Thank you. Last request to speak, Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Thank you very much, Madam President. It's good to see you after such a long absence. I fully agree with what was just said by Mr. Howell. I think that's a very astute analysis that might not make us all comfortable, but I think it's accurate. However, I want to add something. This afternoon in our nation's capital, major things are going on. I won't recite them. But one of them is an investigation as to whether or not our dear friend on planet Earth, Mr. Putin, interfered in the elections of this country via electronic equipment. I am in no sense suggesting that Vladimir gives two hoots about Cambria. On the other hand, I gave up being naive after I lived for more than seven decades. So therefore, friends, sacrifice for us in public service. Turn off your equipment. Make it illegal among yourselves to run the stuff. And remember that some of us still get along fine on planet Earth with old-style dial phones only. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we have the direction. Do you need further clarification, or are we okay?
I think we're fine.
Okay. Thank you for indulging me in that agenda item. All right. Item B, General Manager Gruber.
Thank you, Madam President, board members. Item B is a continuation item, discussion and consideration to appoint a new director to fill the vacancy created by the resignation of Gregory Sanders. There is no staff report, and so this is just, again, a continuation item to pick up where the board left off in discussing the possible appointment to replace outgoing Director Sanders. Thank you.
Thank you, General Manager Gruber. I'm just going to take a moment because I'd like to make sure we have a consensus that everybody that's sitting up here thinks that we need to be appointing somebody to this position, and that we are reasonable human beings that really all of us want to have what's best for Cambria. And we may not agree what that is or the path getting there, but I think we can all agree that we want to be reasonable. Yes? Or am I not? Am I going to get a disagreement on that? Because I'm okay with that. I just want to make sure I know where we're starting.
No. I think we're reasonable people, yes.
Thank you, Director Berenger. And prior to our getting into the motions and such for nominating a new board member, what I would really like to hear from each director is what it is that, it's just kind of a simple question. Obviously, not everybody knows everything about being a board member, including board members. But there are some things that we encounter as frequent misunderstandings that the public may have about being a director that it would be really good to clear up. And we also have ideas about what our role is as a director. So I would like to suggest that each of us, and if you would like, I can start, but I think that each of us describing just a little bit about what you see as your role as a director, or talking about a frequently misunderstood idea about what it is to be a director, because I think it will help the applicants understand some of the things that we are facing and that they'll face as a director. So for me, one of the most frequently encountered misunderstandings is that we are paid well. We are paid well. According to state law, we are allowed to be paid $600 a month, $100 a meeting. And that's all we get, whether we have 10 meetings or 6 or 3. If we have 3, we get $100 a meeting and $300. So I think there's some things that it's helpful to talk about these basic things that sometimes we just assume people know, but they may not know. Shall we go alphabetically or seniority? Director Berenger?
You're right. We get $600 a month. Maybe there's some other misconceptions that, I heard a couple of people say that, well, you know, my constituency said this, or these people say that, or most of the people are for or against a given subject, when in fact it's clear that, first of all, we should be doing what's best for the community, regardless of either constituency, really, if people think there are two. I talk to people all the time, and I welcome people to call or talk to me at any time. And their input is input, but when it comes down to the bottom line, I have to make a decision that's best for the community. So if people don't agree with you, it doesn't mean you should, I hate to say it, go to their position just because they don't agree with you. If you think you're doing what's best for the community, you do what's best for the community. No one's ever given, I have had people give me campaign contributions. I did use them wisely, but not a single person said, I want you to vote for this. And there's a perception that people think that, well, if they support you, then you're gonna support what they think. And that's not true. And I think that's one thing I could say. While we're on the that's it.
Director Farmer, any pet peeves or misunderstandings in the community or something about your role as a director that maybe people don't know about being a director?
Hopefully they've gathered in recent experiences that they've observed this board going through that this is a hard job. It's difficult to deal with the challenges of this particular position. When I ran for office, the main thing that people asked of me was that they wanted more information as to what was going on. They felt that the board was more secretive than anything. They didn't trust the board to make proper decisions or to take everybody's concerns into consideration. That's what I've tried to do as a board member. I say the main concern that I hear from people out there in the community is, as I said, they want to know what's going on. They want the directors to use good judgment and make proper decisions for the well-being of this community, whether they have to do with finances or otherwise. I'd like to think that we're all doing that. Personally, and I don't know if this is really answering the question, because maybe I've kind of lost track of what the initial question was, but I probably spend way more time than I should dwelling on what's right and best for this community and how the best the district, us as board members and staff, can serve the needs of this town. And I just want to say that personally, I love this community deeply with all my heart. It's meant so much to my own personal growth in every sense of the word. I just want the best for this town, and that's why I ran for this office. Thank you.
Director Wharton, as the newest board member.
Thank you for acknowledging that. Hopefully after today, and I'm optimistic that I will no longer fit that role.
Shortest reign as newest board member.
People will come up to me and they ask me, why did you do this? Why did you put yourself in front of everybody? Why, you know, and is it fun? And yeah, it can't be fun is what they say. And the special meetings regarding the appointment, those have been contentious, and we'll acknowledge that. I do. But the work that we do on our regular board items is gratifying. We're pushing the community forward. And that's what I tell people. It could be maddening, and it also can be very gratifying. And I choose to look at the gratifying moments more than the maddening. So, and it's been very nice to sit in people's homes as I did last night, listening to them for an hour, hour and a half, just discussing the board, the issues. And I've heard that from all sides of the issues, whether it was finances or if it's the advanced water treatment plant or if it's the library purchase building or whatever it is. I enjoy hearing from everybody. I keep my eyes open and my mind open for that. And they see that, and they appreciate the work that I'm bringing forth and the rest of the board members are bringing forth as well. So gratifying would be my term to in my experience so far, being the newest guy, and I hope it continues that way.
Not as the new guy, right?
Not as a new guy, but as the gratifying work continues.
Just checking.
Let's move forward.
Director Behringer.
Perhaps one thing that would help us move forward is to, since our last meeting, which I was surprised the way it ended, frankly, I think we've had a chance to talk to some of the candidates, and we've gotten feedback from the public. And I was wondering if any minds were changed, and more particularly, I was interested in the lack of a statement on why. I was surprised by Harry wasn't voted for, but I would like to understand what the objections might have been, or if any minds have been changed. And President Rice, if you feel that there's some changes of heart, it would be interesting to hear that.
And I appreciate the board's and the community's indulgence in that discussion. I think it's important that we all see the things that we have in common, and the four of us, and then eventually the five of us, don't really have an opportunity to talk outside of the board meetings, especially not on board business, even if it's just one-on-one. We usually don't have very much time to talk about things, about how we see this position, and I think that's an important discussion to be able to understand where each director's coming from. So I appreciate your indulgence. I also want to say thank you to the editor of the Cambrian, who, in what I believe, and I don't want to put words into his mouth or into his paper necessarily, but I believe was out in an attempt to try to help us resolve some of the deadlock that has happened, sent out an email asking some specific questions, and I did respond to them. I don't know if there was further response, because I haven't had time to even turn on my computer, even if it did work. So I do want to say thank you very much to Mr. Provo for providing that opportunity to have our opinions put out there on those four questions. In terms of your question, Director Berenger, I would say that we've got some requests to speak, and since this is not technically a continuation, even though it's a continuation of the item, I am going to take those requests to speak, and then what we will do is we will take motions, and then we can see where we are on each of the applicants. Is that agreeable to everyone?
Sure.
Okay. And it's okay with district council, yes? Okay, I just want to make sure we've got the process straight, that's all. All right, so let's do the public comment. No problem. We're just getting a little coordinating going on up here. All right, we're going to start with Bev Praver, followed by Ted Key. You'll have 3 minutes.
Bev Praver, Cambria. Instead of using my entire 3 minutes to belabor the point that my preference is to have you appoint Tom Gray to fill the vacancy on the board, I would like to address the seemingly current trend to use this podium as a platform for character assassination and spreading misinformation by using alternative facts, in spite of the fact that it says right here on the form that we put in, no person will be permitted to make slanderous, profane, or personal remarks against any individual. Using this platform that way damages not only the speaker and the target of the attack, but the entire community by fostering mistrust. It does nothing towards seeking community-based solutions or mutual understanding. I invite everyone to read Cambria Open Forum on Facebook, where, contrary to what some people have said, personal attacks are not permitted, only the intelligent exchange of ideas, and join it if you would like to post your opinions in a civil manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Ted Key, followed by Dwayne Lee.
Good afternoon, board. I'll have to excuse me for a moment because I'm... I'm remodeling what was a rental home, which we have taken off the rental market. I just want to, and I'm very encouraged by the comments that I heard from the directors this morning regarding this election, but there has been, and I'd like to just point this out, I know I sent a letter to you guys, there's been a persistent notion that Mr. Sanders' replacement should have the exact same vision because of the votes in the last election. So unless I misunderstand you, the idea here is that votes equate to ideology. Well, from the county records, I went back to the county records, and here's the real deal. If you look at the candidates that were the pro-SWF rebrand candidates, and you tally their votes together, and that would be Mr. Sanders, Ms. Robinette, and I included Mr. Walters in there because he was a person that wanted to extract water from the air. I tally those people. I have a total, also I included Mr. Niffen, of 3,105 votes. And for the moment, I'm leaving Director Rice out of this. And if I total up Kirky Farmer and, I guess I said Walters in the wrong spot. I come up with 4,048. Now, Director Rice, at the time, to me, seemed much more pragmatic about the SWF, and I think she still is. And I don't mean to speak to you, Director, but I think you are. And so I would honestly split her vote between the two. So what I'm saying, in effect, is that the vote last time really didn't have a mandate of that sort. I think the mandate from the last vote was that we are looking for, because Director Rice received more votes than anybody else, is someone who really is without agenda, someone who is more pragmatic about this decision. And so I'm hoping today that you will really think about voting for someone that doesn't necessarily have agenda. In fact, is much more pragmatic about all the things that are going on because, well, our finances are in trouble. So we need somebody, you know, to fit the bill for everybody. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Dwayne Lee, followed by Karen Dean.
Madam President, Board, staff, and citizens of Cambria. After many attempts, the board seems unwilling or unable to make a selection. At this time, it's clear to me that I will not get the third vote needed. It is also clear to me that Mr. Gray will not get the third vote needed. So where are we? I have a suggestion. My suggestion is I will withdraw my application to serve right now if Mr. Gray will join me. Then the board can vote and select a replacement from the remaining qualified candidates. Looking at the special election that I see on the agenda, a special election to fill this seat, when? Not until June the 5th, 2018. Think about this special election. June the 5th, 2018. That's over 5 months from now. The cost alone, $10,000 to $20,000. My question's here. Will the winner have a majority? Will the possibility of at least six candidates running, will there be a runoff election? If so, another bill to the district for $10,000 to $20,000. We have a general election 5 months later, in November of 2018. Therefore, spending anywhere from $10,000 to $40,000 to fill this seat for a few months prior to November, after waiting 5 months from now, is not responsible and a huge waste of ratepayers' money. To not agree on a replacement from these fine people would be inexcusable and a waste of ratepayers' money. That money could be used for infrastructure repair or any other badly needed expense of the district. So, I hope Mr. Gray will join me in stepping aside and let the board make a selection today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Karen Dean, followed by Laura Swartz.
Hi, Karen Dean from Cambria. The inability of our CCSD board of directors to come to a compromise on an applicant to fill Greg Sanders' seat on the board is extremely disappointing and frustrating to the public. To be so laser-focused on one particular candidate to the exclusion of all the other quite qualified applicants shows an unbelievable unwillingness to work together as a team and only serves to further the division on the board. Obviously, neither Tom Gray nor Dwayne Lee are going to get more than 2 votes each. So let's end this standoff and move on down the list. There are 7 people who are chosen by at least one director for further consideration, as well as the remainder of the 12 applicants who cared enough about our community to offer themselves for service. To imply that any of these candidates are of lesser quality or that you would just be settling on a second, third, or fourth choice is an insult to these very community-spirited candidates. This is not a popularity contest or game show where a number of emails or texts received makes or break who wins the seat. It should be based on how well someone can do due diligence in researching the issues at hand and competently participate in the decision-making that this community counts on the board to do. I do not feel it would be in the best interest of this community to allow this appointment to go to the Board of Supervisors or to be put to a special election in June. There are important issues that need to be dealt with sooner than later, and to leave our community's well-being in the hands of a board split down the middle does not show a responsible commitment to the position of public service and stewardship to which you are elected. Let's hope the board can attempt to end this division. Cambria counts on our board members to work together and to do as what in the best interest of all ratepayers, not just a special side of this community. If I have time, I have one more thing I want to say. We had standoffs like this on the last attempt to fill a vacancy. Director Rice went ahead and compromised with someone that Director Sanders and Director Berenger had on their list. I'm not saying that you guys owe anybody a vote, but what I'm saying is I see the attempt to compromise by Director Rice and Director Farmer the last time by choosing someone who was on Director Berenger's shortlist, Dave Pearson, but yet the person who put him on their shortlist was not willing to even choose the person that they had considered. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Laura Swartz, followed by Brian Griffin.
Good morning, board and everybody. I wrote my comments before I heard any of the other comments here today. So at the very beginning, I was going to say that I would not say anything against any of the other candidates because we all have to work together, and if not appointed now, we might be working with them at the next election. So that was my first point. My second point is I sent an email last time or one of the other times, and it was a very short one, and I didn't have to say a lot of words to get my point across. And my point is, at this point, is, and this is for Dwayne, and Dwayne just proved my point when my third word here is gentleman. And by saying to step down for the good of the community so that we could progress just shows how much of a gentleman he is. And here's my statement that I wrote, a very short one. I said, a quiet gentleman who can get things done without spending all of our money. Dwayne Lee.
Thank you. Brian Griffin, followed by Don Howell.
Good afternoon. I guess I'm one of those folks that trusts you people. I don't really enjoy coming to CCSD meetings. I know it's a necessary part of our community, and I do trust the people that work on the CCSD board to do their job. And I've been very pleased with the way it's been happening for the last couple of years. Now we've had the untimely leaving of 2 of the board members, both Mike Thompson and Greg Sanders, and we have to replace them. And it's time to make a choice. And I've tried to get to know the people that are running for the seat, for the appointment, and I've talked to quite a few of them, and I've communicated with all of you directors, either by email or in person. And I will continue to do that whenever it's appropriate. But I've met some of the people. I met Dwayne Lee, and I talked to him a few times. And I've talked to, spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking to Karen Dean, or my, Sunday, I guess it was. And then I talked to Dave Pearson many times. He's a good friend of mine, and I admire him a great deal. And I was glad that Director Farmer had questioned Mark in depth, because that gave me a little bit of insight into what he was about. And I've known Tom Gray for quite a while, several years, and I've been involved with him on several things, and I admire him greatly. I've looked at all these people, and I've looked at the good things that they've done, and I've looked at some of the things that I'm really not too happy with that they did. And it still boils down to what we have to do, and that's choose the best person for the job, not based on gender, not based on whether they're on your side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle, but simply on the best person to do the job. And in my opinion, the person that has the best experience, has the best expertise, and is willing to do the job for us, and he's certainly not a clone of Greg Sanders. I know both of these gentlemen very well, and Tom is nothing like Greg Sanders, much different type of personality. I think that Tom Gray is the guy for the job, and I hope that you'll change your minds if you voted negative on him and give him a chance to do the job. If he doesn't do a good job, we'll vote him out the next time. But I think he will do a good job, and I think he'll bring a lot of expertise and cooperation to the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Don Howell, followed by Christine Heinrich.
Thank you. A very brief thing I want to say. The issue of directors knowing what is best for the community, regardless of what the community says, a number of directors have already lost their seats as a result of that. It can very easily happen in a position such as yours, where you really do honestly feel that you know what is best. We actually had a president that thought that, and he lost his job. So it is you really do need to pay attention to us. That's one reason I believe that we're allowed to speak to you this way. So yes, people will talk to you and they will try to convince you, but it really, you do need to listen. You may disagree, but you do need to listen and let us know that you have heard us. Okay. A number of people have talked and complained about how long these meetings go and the long discussions and having meetings upon meetings, meetings about meetings. My feeling here is this is a consequence of the Brown Act. So since we want to have everything out in the open, it means the directors cannot meet to negotiate some of these difficult positions outside the public eye. So the public needs to be patient and allow the directors to have these discussions in front of us, because they are not allowed to have these discussions if we're not here. I'm so pleased, and I left Thursday's meeting quite pleased to see that the four of you could so well cooperate on important issues. So I think having a four-person board, well, it's not something that one would want to go for very long. I do think that you can do your jobs, even though there are only four of you. Meetings go faster, of course, when you have a clear majority, because then things can be discussed. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to convince each other. All you need is three. So let us not be afraid if you end up being a four-person board until June. My last thing I wish to say is that if you folks are not willing to compromise, if you are going to insist upon nominating someone that you know will not get, I mean, you may hope that they'll get the vote, but they may not. I would say if you're going to go that route, I'd say please don't. Try to find a way. But if you cannot compromise and you're not willing to compromise, please do not waste our time and your time by continuing this discussion. We need to move to an election, which I may remind you was the first thing I told you a couple of months ago during the last thing, and we wouldn't be here now if we had had that election. So don't be afraid of an election, but it would do us, my heart good and all of us good, to see a real compromise that you guys could. I know you can, as a four-person board. You certainly can do it on other things. Why can we not do it on this?
Thank you. Christine Heinrich, followed by Crosby Swartz.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your deliberations on filling this seat. While it is a short term, every position is significant. The convenience of having a supermajority that can produce reliable support for any proposition is outweighed by its disadvantages. As Churchill said, no one pretends that democracy is perfect or all-wise. Indeed, it has been said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all those other forms that have been tried from time to time. One of the disadvantages of that supermajority is that alternative points of view in the community have been ignored, and ignoring them has cost Cambria. Greater scrutiny on the emergency water facility could have avoided some of the problems and costs that have dogged the thing. The failed blowers come to mind first. It would be good to learn what happened to them. By the way, thank you for differentiating between the emergency water facility and the sustainable water facility. It's helpful to the discussion, but I was amused to hear the EWF often referred to as that thing. The election of Harry Farmer indicated that those whose opinions have been ignored are increasing in numbers and are willing to vote. Take this opportunity to enrich public discussions and reach better decisions. Election is an expensive distraction from the impoundment pond issues. This board can select one of the applicants to fill this vacancy. Doing so promptly, with collegiality and informed discussion, can begin restoring confidence in the board. New leaders are needed to create confidence in the agencies with which Cambria must work after the failure to design and construct an efficient working project. The board has presided over staff that failed even to file required reports that were complete and timely, despite generous and dedicated agency support. Tom Gray has been committed to the problem-plagued trajectory of this project. He is distrusted by many in the community. Appointing him only adds to the division in the community and does nothing to improve agency relationships. As President Rice noted, one seat for less than a year on this board is not going to change the direction of the board. It may, however, enrich the discussion and help the board and staff improve performance and gain credibility with the agencies that will yet review it for a permanent coastal development permit. Focusing on number of water connections to add is hardly relevant. That's not going to come up during the tenure of this appointment. We will be fortunate if the impoundment pond can be decommissioned before November. If Dwayne Lee and Karen Dean are perceived as partisan, consider a moderate compromise candidate such as Dennis Perry or David Pearson. Thank you.
Thank you. Crosby Swartz, followed by Elizabeth Bettenhausen, and that's my last request to speak on this item.
Madam President. Madam President, members of the board, I certainly echo the thought of some of the previous speakers that I hope you can resolve this matter of an appointment today, but it seems like there's a possibility that this might not happen and that we might be looking at a special election which would delay the filling of the seat and it would cost the district money. There is a procedure that would avoid these problems. It's been discussed briefly before. It's called ranked choice voting. Vice President Farmer brought this up in a previous meeting, and I decided to try to look up some more information for it on this matter. Found a great website called www.fairvote.org/RCV. And I urge you all to look at that. Ranked choice voting basically has been proven to come up with the best candidate, even in cases where there's deadlock and ties and special elections and so forth. It's certainly worth looking at. That would allow you to fill the seat, not necessarily today, but certainly before June. And it might even come up with a candidate that's acceptable to the whole community. Thank you.
Thank you. Elizabeth Bettenhausen. Followed by Mike Lyons.
Madam President, I hope you would clarify before I hope you would clarify before I go with my remarks. If you fill this vacant position now by appointment, if you fill this position today by appointment, does the term last until November of 2018, or does it last until November of 2020? Whereas if it's filled by an election, it would last until November of 2020. Thank you. Isn't democracy easy? Thank you, Christine and Winston. A year ago, I wrote my annual letter, which I try to do annually, oddly enough. And I sent it to family and friends, and I said that it was a letter considering what is meant by post-truth. And it was a post-election letter, as you know, in December. And I asked myself, how do we discern truth these days? I came to the conclusion that discerning truth is always an activity of a community, never of an individual. An individual who thinks that she or he can discern the truth is widely mistaken, forgetting the roots of how that person epistemologically is aware or knows a damn thing, excuse me. And I hope that the directors on the board right now will consider that you are finding a person who understands that, who understands that community discernment is the only way to get to truth. And if you don't do it that way, you're an ideologue or a dictator or a tremendous egotistical person of whom we have some elected officials, as you know, representing that condition. I would like you to have interactions with those who differ from you, who have alternative viewpoints, as you know. I want you to admit your mistakes in public. That is the first sign that you are a community-based discerner of truth. I would like you to change your mind on issues and give evidence of it to the public. That is a rare condition on the board of directors of CCSD, I have to say candidly, from my discernment, of course. I hope that you consider the opposition who differ with you initially as the conversation starts. I hope you consider these people as morally okay. Far too often we get labeled as liars, we get labeled as biased, we get all sorts of labels on social media or here. Please discern those who disagree with you as morally okay until proven by the community's judgment otherwise. If you do this, you might well be able to reach compromise. But if you support only people who affiliate with one view of the truth, we have to give up as community. We should go out and play.
Mike Lyons.
Thank you very much. Ordinarily, I highly value compromise. And I hope to consider myself a gentleman, and I make no aspersions against any candidate today. They are all gentle people. But I would say, from speaking from my heart, that the information on whether we move forward or we don't with the water security system that this town has come together on is too important for compromise. From my point of view, compromise means a loss of perhaps my ability to live here in town. It might mean a loss of the existence of this town if the drought continues. This is an extremely important question, and the time for compromise may be well taken in other areas of decision, such as whether to put in a park or sidewalks or lighting or safety issues or something like that. This is an existential question for me here in town, and maybe for the town itself. It should be not surprising to any of us that there is a great deal of polarity on this question. And I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of, because we feel strongly on different sides of the issue. I don't see any gain in concentrating on what may have happened in the past, whether the board made the right or the wrong decisions, whether the consultants that you used helped or didn't help you. The more important thing is to accept what we have and to move forward. I want solutions. I don't want to rehearse the history of this project. It should be no surprise that I support Tom Gray for this appointment because it fits my own needs and that of this community. But if you can't find a candidate that you could agree on, I would at least submit and suggest that you go to an election so that this major question can be settled by the voters. I'll accept the voters' decision. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all my request to speak on this matter. At this point, I would just like to make note of the fact that I think there are two applicants that stand out to me as being focused on what's best for the community, and they both showed it in different ways. One of whom, and I would like to have a response from Tom Gray if he would like to make one to the offer that Mr. Lee made, if he would like to. I'm seeing a shaking of a head. Okay. Mr. Lee suggested that he would step aside if Mr. Gray would also to help end a stalemate, potentially. And I got an email from one of the other applicants endorsing Dwayne Lee, and that was Dave Pearson. And I think that the fact that an applicant spoke to somebody else that might be a good person to sit on this board says that there's no self-centeredness there, in my opinion.
You're mistaken. It's not Pearson. It's Pearson.
That was David Pearson, not David Pearson. P-E-A-R. I received the same email. And it threw me for a loop, too, until
I thought I looked close. So thank you for the clarification, then.
And I do believe...
And that explains the surprise.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Gosh darn it, you have a similar name to somebody else.
It did shake me as
that
well.
Made,
it threw me for a loop. And
thank
I
you
to,
for the clarification, then. My mistake. There you go. I admit I'm wrong. So one down, one to go, right? Two, three, four, or five to go? All right. That said, I would entertain a motion to nominate somebody. And what I think that we should probably do is start with the ones that we haven't made motions for before. But I mean, I'm only chairing the meeting. I'm not directing that. So is anybody like to make a motion? Director Wharton.
Well, I've heard a couple references to an election from different sides. I've also stood as well for that myself. I believe I brought it up last meeting. And I believe during my the appointment for Mike Thompson's seat, it was brought forth that there should be election not for just the one seat, but for both seats. And the people that I didn't go back and check the meeting. I did check with Editor Provo over there to because he made reference to an election to that as well. And I don't know who actually made the pitch for that initially. I don't know if Vice President Farmer. I noticed light came on. I don't know if he has any direction of maybe who that came from, but. An election, or if not, then I would nominate Dave Pearson. But the election would be my first go around.
Well,
Vice President Farmer.
Well, let me say this much: I second your nomination of David Pearson, and I also want to mention that I was the person that suggested that we just take the next two people that were that ran in 2016. And those would have been Gail Robinette and Dwayne Lee, and appoint them to the board since they actually took the time to run. There was a member of the board no longer here who stated that that's a recipe for failure. So that was the suggestion I made, and that was the reception from the other side, so to speak. So I will commend you for nominating David Pearson, and I'll second that.
Would you like to speak further to your motion? Or ask any questions of the applicant or anything?
No, I've talked with Dave Pearson a number of times. So I think we've talked enough of these people. And I don't know how much more gleaning of information. Is there going to be an aha moment from an additional question? I do appreciate Dave Pearson's work on hundreds of millions of dollars worth of public projects. I think he might have some insight onto if a hurdle does come up with the facility, the SWF, then he might have some insight on how to go up, over, around either side, not just throw our hands up in the air and walk away from it. So he has overseen grant writing, I believe. Grant writing. And that might be something that, and I do understand that we had a person that was looking at grants. So, maybe he could bring that back to the district, and whether it's $50,000 here for a park or $100,000 here for something else, I think any and all efforts towards grant writing would be much appreciated by the community.
Would you like to speak to your second?
I spoke with David. He contacted me, and he actually contacted all the members of the board. I'm not going to comment on how quickly some of them responded and some didn't. But we sat down, and we don't necessarily agree on everything. But there's one thing that I would state, I think, with some affirmation, is that David has a really strong background in finance. That he's been involved since he came to this community, less than 2 years ago, and coming to meetings, observing what is taking place, understanding the challenges that face this district, and he wishes to participate in addressing those challenges, whether they have to do with finance, whether they have to do with management, or whatever. One of the things that I really appreciated about David, I'll just take it off of his application here, is he wants more information to be given to the community, in a monthly newsletter, maybe have a monthly article in the Cambrian, hold informational town hall meetings. He's also wants to have the board be much more involved in goal setting. Applying for grants, as Director Wharton just mentioned. He's also, he wants to pursue the permitting of the emergency water facility. He's open to growth. I do want to mention this, by the way. And he and I didn't necessarily agree on everything. I think the thing that I appreciated the most about David is the statement I'm about to read. And this is something that David sent to me after our conversation. In person, and I asked him if he could elaborate on the question that was in the application, why did he want to serve as a director? And this is a statement. I want to be a director because I think I can make a difference and serve the community. I would like to restore, if it ever existed, trust between the community, the board, and the staff of the district. We would do this with open communication and honesty. I would like to help the team get a real assessment of the budget and the challenges we face, and then develop a plan to provide the services the community needs. My leadership, and like I said, he has decades of experience in areas that would be very applicable to this job. My leadership has always been serving with integrity and compassion, and that would continue on the board if chosen. So I would hope that we have a 4-0 vote on Mr. Pearson, that we move forward, and as David said, begin to restore or regain the trust of this community. Thank you.
Director Berenger.
President Rice, I'd like to get a read from you a little bit on why you rejected Mark Harrier. I thought we were going to have a 4-0 vote on that. And also, if you could make a statement on that you just did, it seemed like you were reluctant because of the statement that you thought he made, actually recommending somebody else. If you could just address that, that would help me comment more.
So the motion is regarding Dave Pearson, so I don't think it's appropriate to discuss the any other applicants at the moment. Thank you. I appreciate the clarification from the two directors that it was a different Dave Pearson. My conversation with Dave Pearson was I got a good sense of where he's coming from, and I tend to agree with Director Farmer that having somebody appointed as a 4-0 would be a great thing and would show that this board does know how to come together and consider what's happening for the community and for the good of the community. One of the things that I will say, even though I mistook the email from a different Dave Pearson, I talked to him long enough that I didn't have to look into it very far to make the assumption that he did. It didn't seem like something out of character based on the brief amount of time that I had spent with him, which is why I didn't look further, because it kind of made sense to me in a way. It fit his character, exactly. So, again, kind of brings back to the point, true or not, the things that we make assumptions about, whether they turn out to be the case or not, we will make assumptions based on our experience about a person. And so that just leads me to a positive answer on that. Director Berenger?
Yeah, so let me speak to the issue. I'm not going to waver from what I've said over and over again, that I think that the most qualified candidate should be the one that we should have come with. We shouldn't have had other biases. And to that effort, that is why I didn't vote for David Pearson last time, because I wanted to make sure that Mark Harrier had a chance to give his discussion. Had we agreed on Dave Pearson the first time, we wouldn't have gotten to Mark Harrier. The community wouldn't have seen the quality of that candidate. And from the beginning, Dave Pearson was one of the top candidates I thought was there. And you know, I don't want to disappoint anybody, but I still supported trying to get the very best person. That's why I continually went with Chaldicott, and that's when I continually went with other people. But for this purposes, I'm certain that it's my hope that we can have a unanimous decision on this applicant.
Well, I hope I'm not such an erratic voter that it isn't clear where my leaning is at this point. But I will say this. One of the things that's really important about being a board member, at least it is to me, and it's part of our expanded bylaws, is that we come to these meetings prepared, but without having already made a decision. There are a lot of decisions that we are constantly making that we then have to back up, even if we do not agree with them. If a majority goes that direction, that's the direction that everyone on the board has to support, whether it's something personally we would have liked to see happen or not. So one of the things I did notice about Mr. Pearson is that he's asking for more evidence so that he can make a decision, meaning he still has an open mind about things, and he's not likely to undo things. Having experience in a large company, I have a feeling he's not likely to undo things that are very expensive and will cause more expense if we eliminate. I have to say I have been impressed by the quality of the applicants in both of these processes, and I appreciate that Director Beringer wanted to allow for Mr. Harrier to have his chance for the community to see him and hear what he has to say. I think that's one of the bigger mistakes that I made in voting on Director Wharton to join the board, not in voting for him, but in not allowing for further discussion of other applicants prior to making that vote. And that sounds like something that you were facing when we had Dave Pearson nominated. If I'm understanding you correct, is that?
That's correct.
So, lesson learned the day that you were appointed, and I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one that sees that has advantages. I think there's no reason, unless, because I don't see any lights on, we can call the roll. The motion is to appoint Dave Pearson to the vacancy of the Board of Directors for Cambria CSD.
Director Wharton?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
Director Beringer?
Aye.
President Rice?
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who applied. And you should be keeping your eye on things, because there is no reason for us to not fully staff standing committees next year. I think there's no reason why we couldn't have a large group of you still involved. And I hope that you do stay involved. And I think that it's an excellent field. So I want to thank you, all of you, for going through the grueling process, some of you more than once. Can we administer the oath of office, or we have to wait?
Is the new director here, so I'm going to stand up and pay him off?
Please. Yeah. Haley will administer the oath of office. Thank you, Haley.
I do.
Ms. Dodson.
I, David Pearson.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California. Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith. And allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of California. That I take this obligation freely. Without any mental reservation. Or purpose of evasion. And that I will. Well and faithfully. Discharge the duties upon. Which I am about to enter. Congratulations.
Please come take your seat at the dais, sir. You thought you were off the hook, huh? All right. So I think... Well, why don't we trade it out for the one next to Ms. Dodson? It's a secret. There's a trick seat up here that's lower than... It doesn't stay up, so... I think that it could be the consensus of the board that we can skip item C at this point. Yes?
Hallelujah and praise the Lord.
Hey, separation of church and state, sir. At least call the goddess also. All right. Item D, do we happen to have an extra? I think I have an extra one. It's the same report from last Thursday, right?
Yes. It was 7C.
I'll give them mine, Madam President. I mean, Tim and I can share.
Okay. Well, I just want to have him be able to refer to something. And this next item is about giving direction to staff and not actually making a vote or anything at this point, just so you know. General Manager, do we need a break or are we good?
No, we're good. I think this is going to be quick.
General Manager Gruber.
Thank you, Madam President, board members. Item 3D is discussion and consideration of funding issues, priorities, and including options for special tax election. I'm going to let District Council Tim Carmel talk a little bit about this. And I did meet with the fire chief this morning, and I do have some just some calculations that I would like to share with the board as part of your deliberation, not in order to influence or allow you to make any particular decision, but just to, again, to provide you with information to direct staff. So thank you.
Madam President, members of the full board, this is an opportunity for the board to discuss and identify funding priorities for a number of underfunded or unfunded projects and services that are currently on your plate. It's also an opportunity to consider a special tax ballot measure to generate the funds to address those issues. Amongst the issues that are now facing you are keeping fire staffing at its current level. You heard quite a bit about that at the last meeting. You have the forest management plan that's been discussed for years, a very important issue currently, a very important issue. You have the Fiscalini Ranch, which has new maintenance needs and a number of phased projects ahead that'll increase the cost of the maintenance as well. And then the BRP Citizens Committee has recommended a special parcel tax to partially fund the build-out reduction program. So those are some, and there are more, but those are the four that come to mind immediately. And then the special tax, if you're going to go down the path of a special tax, you'll have to establish the date upon which that would go to an election, and whether you're going to choose a conventional election or a mail ballot election. The dates, the relevant dates that are established by state law are in your staff report towards the end. So staff's just looking for, at this point, direction, both with regard to the projects that you want to fund and whether you're going to choose to go down the special tax path with a ballot measure. And we'd be glad to answer any questions.
Director Barron, questions?
Yes, I think not so much a question, but last time what we were discussing or what I brought forth was the possibility of having a like a BRP, a building, like, what do you call it, a standing committee that would look into this. If we're going to try and get this done by the November ballot, it would have to be maybe a three-month and not a 20-month-long effort. I think going into the details of this particular issue today would be premature. I think that the build-out reduction committee has done a lot, and if I were to, if each director were to, like we did before, select two citizens that are willing to stand on that committee and begin it as early as January, that we could get started on this. I also, as I said last time, I want to reiterate that it should, it would be most, it would be easiest if you just addressed the fire, the extra firefighter. That would be fairly easy. If we throw in the forest management plan, it would have to be pretty detailed. If we wanted to try and dovetail the BRP into it, I think that that would lengthen the process and make it far more difficult. And we need to address the BRP separately. I'm for a single issue, or maybe a second issue, but to try and put a third issue in, it's not fair to the public, and it would be difficult. So my recommendation is that each director, prior to next meeting, get some feedback from the public. Maybe we have some volunteers. And Mr. Carmel, can we share with each other those people that we might want to nominate to a standing committee, so that we don't have could I share with two other board members the person that I think I was going to put on a standing committee? I couldn't.
No.
No. That's
a product violation.
Unless it's at a public meeting.
You could do it here, but not.
Well, you know, I would know if the, if someone came to me and said they wanted to be on the meet, on the be nominated, and I'm sure no one on the BRP is gonna want to be on this committee. They just spent 20 months on that, and but if anybody does, you know, and then I would probably know ahead of time that I could nominate those people to be on a committee. So that's my recommendation, and it would make short issue of this particular project. And we do have one person to speak.
We do. Are there other questions? And then we're going to take the request to speak after we have questions. Yes, Vice President Farmer.
I don't have a question. I just want to make an observation that we have had, within 2 hours, an appointment of a new director and somebody on this board actually saying we should have a standing committee. And just the fact that those two things actually happened in the space of about 20 minutes, well, the sun is shining. And it's just a hopeful feeling, especially considering where we've recently been.
Mr. Pearson, I don't want to put you, Director Pearson, I don't want to put you on the spot, but just so you know, if you want to say something, you just need to punch your mic on so that I see your light go on. That way I know to call on you.
Thank you.
Would you like to say something?
Thank you. I would like a little clarity on, I went over this last night in preparation just in case this happened to me. So, sure. The grant for PPE is still on this. Budget run out here, but I understood last time that was not accepted. We didn't get that, so we have a deficit going anyway, right? Because we didn't get that grant, so there's more deficit than is indicated on the current layout here.
I think we showed it as a source of revenue. If it isn't successful in the grant process, it doesn't mean that we fund it out of the existing budget. Therefore, it would not be a deficit. It would just be a something that would not be funded.
Just to clarify, the question was regarding to the grant for PPE. In anticipation of it potentially not passing, I put in there with the work of our Patrick a line item expense to capture that expenditure. So it was already planned for and approved in this approval of the last year's budget. So there will be no deficit spending to acquire those needed items.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Could you please, before you walk away, could you please tell the public who may not know what PPE is?
A personal protective equipment is the required stuff we need to wear for both structural and wildland firefighting.
The gold badges and everything, right?
No, this stuff doesn't count. Makes us look good,
it's
but that's
protective.
About it.
Got it. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you.
I think it's important that we've gotten all of this information. One of the clarification questions I have is should we decide to go to the ballot in June? Do we have time to do it? And then if not, when would we have to meet a deadline? Let me tell you what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking, because this does involve so many different aspects, absent water, wastewater, but so many different aspects that are funded by general fund monies, that it might be something we could wrap into something like a strategic planning, like our goal setting for next year that we need to be doing. But I don't want to delay if it's going to cause us to miss deadlines for elections. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, you'll need a funding analysis. That's probably the first thing we're going to do, depending on what direction you go. Certainly you have time to do this in June, but it would be a fairly tight timeline. Essentially, I think you're going to have to get everything to the county, I would say, by the end of January. Actually, you could probably do middle of February, but we'll certainly get more information on that. But it'll be a tight time frame.
Okay. And if we were to give direction to staff to put together a funding analysis, you would need to know whether we wanted to just do SAFER to fund the third firefighter, or just to fund BRP or any of the other things. And one of the reasons why we have all these things kind of considered at the same time is because we are going to need to fund,
right,
eventually, all of them.
Yes, we would need to know very specifically what you're going to want to place on the ballot.
Okay. Director Berenger?
I think that's too tight of a time frame to let anybody to try them for June, and I think that the November ballot will be there. We might have to borrow some funds. We're going to need to make sure that the safer firefighters stay on board somehow during that period of time. We also have, again, we've been loaning money to the wastewater fund. We're going to have a Prop 218 on rates, which is different. Rates need to support water, and so that might give us a little relief if we can get that done earlier. So, and that 218 is a more of a mail-in ballot, something that's not going to require an election. And we shouldn't be, we shouldn't be too confident that we're even going to get those funds. I know that Mr. Gray, and I agree with him, it's a very it's a regressive tax. It stays on your property tax bill forever. We have a Cambria CSD fire assessment at $94.94 for me, and it's for everybody. It doesn't matter how big it is. And that's many years ago, and I've got Coast Union bond in 1998. I'm paying $84. Cuesta College, $244. It's this shouldn't be taken lightly, and to get a two-thirds majority, we can't count on that right now. So our first priority is a 218 for wastewater to see if we can start doing some structural funds, and hopefully we can get it done in November. And that's why the group that's going to be get together, one of their options should be no, then we're not going to try. So,
and there's some very specific rules about whether we can advocate as a district for a specific. We can give information but not advocate. Is that true? Is that the case? I'm trying to make sure that I'm not confusing different.
You can educate but not advocate.
Educate but not advocate.
Mr. Carmel, could it be that since we had the Cambria fire assessment many years ago at $94.94. Is that something that you could just, even though you can't raise it, could that be part of the ballot that you're going to change it from $94.94 to something else?
It's a completely different animal.
Completely different animal. Okay.
It's an assessment. This is a tax.
I got it.
Could we do that? It's a different animal, but is it a different animal in the zoo? Or no?
You mean could we revisit the assessment?
Yes.
Under Prop 218, believe it or not, I don't think there's case law now that says that you can't use the assessment process for fire services.
Oh.
Because there's no special benefit. You have to segregate the special benefits from the general benefits.
I see.
There's a dispute about this, but it's a very contentious issue.
Okay.
That I would recommend you stay away from.
Contentious issues. Let's see. I think we'll stay away from it.
Also, too, there's the correct me if I'm wrong, District Council, if you revisit something like this and you're not successful, for a standby availability, let's say, if we were to go back and say, we want to look at our standby availability fees that are being charged for a water or sewer line in front of your house, and you weren't successful on that, then you would lose that source of revenue. So, we'd have to talk a little bit about that. But
okay.
One of the things,
I've
wrote some notes down here. I've been pushing for some kind of the facilitation of a strategic plan or goals and objectives other than the board and staff coming up with this, because you're wrestling with a lot of tough decisions right now. And I know that I've been poo-pooed a couple of times on the professional facilitator, but that person in conjunction with the board and possibly a standing committee will help you get to where you want to go, because it really comes down to prioritizing our needs and our goals and what we want to do. For an example, and I'm just going to run down a litany of things here that I've put down. So we look at the $300,000 fee for the two additional firefighters. Now we have 4,000 customers and roughly 6,000 pieces of property. If you divide that by $300,000, it comes down to $50. if you were to divide it by 12 months in a year, it comes down to, now this is per parcel, we're talking about a possible parcel tax, and I'm going to work my way down some of these things. It comes down to $4.16 per month per parcel, or 13.8 cents per day per person. So when you start to get your arms around these big figures, the same with the Facilities and Resources Department, which has a budget of about $660,000. Now that $660,000 supports Carlos and his two additional staff members, but it also supports the work that's being done on the ranch and in all our facilities, the Veterans Hall, the bathrooms, the skate park, administrative office, everything, the street lights, and that list keeps getting bigger and bigger. Now it's a dog park. So one of the things that we could talk about is a designated source of revenue specifically for the Facilities and Resources, ranch, BRP, forest management plan component of all this. And then would that be in addition to the revenue that's being allocated to the Facilities and Resources from the general fund, which is a $660,000? Well, one of the things that could be considered is a designated source of revenue specifically for that, which would free up the $660,000 to be used for something else. Again, there's components of the forest management plan. You know, what does that look like? To what complexity? Is it hiring a forester? Does that money specifically be used for the removal of trees? And then what I would suggest is that if we do have a standing committee relating to these issues and what we want to fund, what our priorities are, how we want to move forward, that two board members are also chosen because, you know, you want to be able to help in that process. You don't want necessarily just staff. I mean, we'll coordinate the meetings and put the agendas together and things like that. But I think two members of the board on that committee also would go a long way. Our role is to provide you the information that you need, the data that you need to help you formulate a good decision. And then now we have Rudy on board, and Rudy is going to be, you know, instrumental in that. And so we have ideas. We don't necessarily want to, you know, we want to present those ideas to you and the information, but we really want, you know, you working with staff and possibly somebody who could help in a strategic plan and the community really decide what we can afford to do. Remember, other than the safer firefighters and even the infrastructure and the rate study, you know, all these things don't have to be done today. You know, we talked about adopting the BRP and looking out maybe a 5 or 10 year plan. We look at the ranch management plan. You know, as long as we start somewhere and have a roadmap to where we want to go, I think it could be a 5 year plan. It could be a 10 year plan, but it could be a legacy plan where we put it in place like the BRP and we come up with a mechanism and the means to fund it. But it doesn't all have to be today. So, thank you.
Director Berenger.
Just a quick comment. If it's a standing committee, we can have all five board members attend. When it was a standing committee for the BRP, which I helped set up, by the way, anybody can go there. It's agendized and so on and so forth. To maybe spearhead two board members to be at, you know, regularly there, I could see. But there's no restrictions. It's a public meeting. Mm-hmm. People, you know, take minutes and so on and so forth.
And I might suggest that having a structure that would allow for that standing committee to be focused on, you know, the fire department, then they can become experts in the fire department along with a couple of board members. And we, when we visit things like this, we've already got the pros that looks at issues regarding the ranch.
Yeah, but facilities. And I just looked at my tax bill at $88 a month. A month for me. I'm just saying what's already there. And now we're talking about so many. You know, it adds up. It's not. Mm-hmm. And I hope that some people are on the committee are taxpayers. You know, so that they can balance that a little bit because it just keeps on. You know, Coast Union, fine. I'm glad they're Cuesta College. That's nice. and the standby fees, but eventually it's, you know, it becomes
civilized society requires money to fund.
I agree. Take it all, but, you know, and it's regressive. That's one point. If it was based upon, if it was like an income tax, that's progressive. That's much more favorable than this, which is.
Or if we were incorporated a sales tax,
right? Or get the tourism board, whatever.
So, do we want to give direction to only be looking at doing a fire assessment, not assessment, tax? Or do we want to try to... Yes, thank you. I have a couple of public comments.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yes.
Director Pearson, and then we'll take public comment.
If we're going to talk about the extra staffing on the committee, we ought to also look at forest management, because I think that's hand in hand. We mm-hmm. want to prevent fires. We have to do both things. We can't just do one.
Good point. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, thank you for waving your arm back there, ma'am. Followed by Laura Swartz.
You're more than welcome, Madam President. I want to say that it sounds a bit premature. You might give direction, but I think it would be more helpful to know first where you intend to go. It would also be helpful to know exactly where you are. And it would be helpful to know what means of transportation you intend to use to get wherever you want to go from wherever it is you are. This is totally premature because you have posed a humongous budget issue. And this is not on the agenda today. But you have also looked at one major budget item as if it were even tangentially connected, which perhaps it is, to three other major budget items. But there's no evidence that there is any actual connection. You posit that there might be. So if you walk the East Ranch and you look at the forest above you, and you whistle to the dogs, and you're walking with a member of the BRP committee, and the Fire Chief Hollingsworth is with you, then you might get a conversation going pertinent to all of these issues. If you say to the staff today, please form a standing committee, it might be an excellent idea to clarify the nature of it. I would like a standing committee on, and I've said this for years, water supply. I think it would be very helpful to have a standing committee on water supply. I would like a standing committee on the condition of the forest because it's so germane to the identity of Cambria. I would like a standing committee on, and I could name, as you know, six more items. We don't have standing committees now. And it's not clear to me that if you direct the staff today to name the process for a standing committee, that you have any idea, all of you, all five of you, what standing committee rules are in your bylaws. And I won't give you a test, although it's in my predilection to do so as an ancient teacher. Friends, if I had to sit there, which God be willing, I will never do, I would be so frustrated at this point with this agenda item that I would act even nastier than I do right now, which is saying, you know, I've got talent. So, friends, please take care with your decisions. Think about your budget, which needs attention like you wouldn't believe, or your directors, you would. Look at that cash flow projection for the last 2 years. And you will find edification that needs to be celebrated with eggnog.
Thank you. Laura Swartz.
Thank you, directors. I cannot speak as well as Elizabeth, but I will try. I wrote these notes again before I came to the meeting and heard all this other discussion. And I wanted to throw out there, I was one of the lucky 10 on the BRP. But I wanted to throw out there just the idea of an open space district, because we need to separate things out, in my opinion. And Chief Collingworth gave a wonderful presentation, and I think we need to solve our fire and our safety and staff our people, but maybe keep it to the same level that the grant money was, and not expand that to make it more expensive than what we got the grant money for originally, just to keep it a little more fiscally responsible. The thing with, and with the open space district, there's apples and oranges again between parks, between unimproved properties, properties that need to be conserved for environmental issues to get the plant. So there's a lot of things involved, and it needs to be split out. Now, from my point of view, with an open space district, if more of the environmental 501c3s and those people got involved in it, they're already used to dealing with very, very tight budgets. It would be only for unimproved properties. It wouldn't have maintenances for buildings or anything else like that. And that would solve the solution for your SEIR, and people might, on both sides, might vote for that to solve that and to keep the unimproved property. But I'm looking, and I'm not saying it really well, but I'm trying to do it fiscally and separate out the different things that we're trying to do. And that's basically what I'm trying to say. And President Rice brought up the idea too, is that with the BRP, if it has a 25-year life, it's going to sunset, and we need to be able to do our conservation in an open space district that will continue on, and we won't have to. I mean, we won't be around probably, or President Rice will be, but we won't be around to fight this out again. So let's make some solutions that people can agree upon, and we can take care of our slight growth or whatever and our different parks and our conservation and put it together instead of just trying to solve it all at once. Just I'm throwing out another idea of an open space, and it would take the burden off of the CCSD, actually, too, not to have to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no more requests to speak. I tend to agree, and I think I wasn't very clear in my comments, that I think that mashing together a bunch of folks to a committee to look at the various things we need to fund with that are underfunded did seem like we're going to just, that's a heck of a lot to get your arms around, even for directors who are trying to do that. And the reason I asked about the timeline is I think it's important for us to have some discussions with the community, because I think one of the things that we have heard is, what do you mean you're going to do by the library? What do you mean you're going to do this or that? When did we start talking about that? I think it's incumbent upon us to not be putting a cart before the horse and before we have a community discussion, which I think that I'm not alone in believing that that's the case, because we may discover that the community, after having discussions with the community, that they want to put a lot more money into maintaining the ranch and the forest, or they want to find a different way to split out the money that we are going to put on the taxes for the BRP. One of the reasons this agenda item does kind of throw it all in is to recognize that we do have all of these competing issues, and we are going to need to set some priorities. And that's the perfect thing to be doing during strategic planning. With that, Director Berenger.
Yes, but there's the clear and present need for the firefighters. We no longer have the revenue to keep. We either lay them off, mm-hmm. which I'm thinking the consensus is not to do, starting with Mike Thompson, Director Sanders, and this board. So to delay at least the clear issue of firefighters, I think that we can start a committee with that and then come up with other objectives. But that, without a doubt, we're not going to be able to start paying for them in about another 3 months.
Right.
So we need to solve that problem.
I also tend to think that there's not a consensus to have any less protection against fire than we currently have. But I think we also didn't really have a discussion about adding that. And it's actually a third firefighter. the fourth is the is a reserve. And before we had two, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chief Hollingsworth, we had a captain and an engineer and a reserve. And now we have a captain, an engineer, a firefighter, and a reserve. So this is not, this. I just want to make that part clear because we didn't have a policy discussion on adding that additional, and there are rules with the FP, I'm not going to think of it, NFPA, National Firefighters. No, I got it, fire protection. It's fire stuff. To be technical, it's late December. So I think that policy discussion has not been had, and I think that knowing what the analysis is what it's going to look like on a property tax bill is critically important, especially for people who pay property taxes, but also for people who don't, because the protection covers all of us. Mr. Gruber.
So I just want to, the budget for fiscal year, as you know, runs through July 1st to June 30th for 17-18. The Safer Fire funds through the grant process runs out March 1st. I didn't bring my budget with me, but I believe Patrick and I prepared in the budget funding through June. I hope you have your budget with you. I think we prepared it through June, funding for the firefighters through June. So if you want to go to a November ballot or whatever you decide to do, or a June ballot, just remember that June is, we did that because that's the end of the fiscal year. We'll be having the budget for 2018-2019. If it does go to November and the board does decide to keep that additional firefighter on, then from a revenue perspective, that money will need to come from general fund. So I just want to let you, there's certain logistics and timing issues involved. If you wanted it to go to the June ballot, then we have the money available in this year's budget to fund the fire Safer Fighters fires for the remainder of the fiscal year. If you wanted to go, and that's a policy decision, if you wanted to go to next fiscal year, 18-19, and it goes to the November ballot, then from July 1st to November, then that would be general fund revenues would need to pay for the firefighters during that time. So there's some fiscal things to just think about. I just wanted to kind of let you know what's going on with that. So so it's kind of dovetail on what Director Berenger said as far as, you know, what do we move on first? How do we prioritize our thing? But the Safer Firefighters do have a revenue source for the remainder of this fiscal year, which is through June 30th. But the grant money runs out March 1st. So.
Thank you for that clarification. From my own perspective on it, I think it's important that I want to better understand if we aren't able, because it's possible even if we go to the June ballot that we don't get the tax. So I would like to know how we meet the requirements of the different codes that the fire department has to follow. I mean, we don't have to know it today, but I mean, that's information I think it's important to know, because it's possible even if we do go forward and put something on the ballot, people wouldn't vote for it. I mean, we have to get a 2/3, correct? Which is a very high bar, so.
Correct me if I'm wrong, District Council Tim Carmel. So the 2/3 is the respondents to the measure itself. In other words, the people that actually vote. So if you have 4,000 registered voters, it's not 2/3 of those 4,000 registered voters. If 600 people show up, it's 2/3 and vote and cast their vote. And correct me if I'm wrong.
It's 2/3 of the voters voting at the election.
Yeah, 2/3 of the voters voting at the election, not 2/3 of the registered voters. Sometimes there's a little misunderstanding regarding that. So it really is driven, and it's a good benchmark. 2/3 is a good benchmark, but it's driven by the amount of recipients that come out and vote, not the registered voters itself, which makes the threshold a lot easier to achieve than 2/3 of your total registered voters.
Or total property owners, since it's some property owners, right? Okay. So,
You can do either. We've been discussing a parcel tax.
Okay.
So that would be landowners.
Okay. So we could have 10 people come out, and as long as 6 of them vote for it, 7. 7 of them vote for it. Ooh. Okay. I'm not comfortable. I understand the conundrum we're in. I don't know how we meet the requirement of 4 personnel without... I know we did it before somehow, before we had the safer firefighters, right? We didn't meet the 4 person at all, ever?
No. It was only because of the grant.
So we don't... It's not part of our automatic aid or mutual aid that CAL FIRE would be the 4th?
What might be helpful is at the last board meeting when Chief Hollingsworth gave his presentation, you had asked some really good questions, I thought, about additional information. It's not too early to put that, if that's the board's desire, although it's not, we don't have a future agenda item, but it's up to the president and vice president. And Chief and I met this morning to provide the board some additional information specifically relating to the things you brought up on the website last time about the particular roles that the fire department does
mm-hmm.
in helping you make the decision as policymakers in the direction in which you want to go.
Right. Because it seems to me, and correct me if you think that I'm not on the right base here, but it seems to me fire protection's a fairly easy peasy kind of tax comparative to some of these other things that we're going to be asking people to fund, which once we put this one on, then that makes that amount of that you pay annually an even higher number and makes it even harder to get the ones that are maybe not as, which is kind of why considering them all and the fact that we have all of these different underfunded programs, I think was a part of the importance of having them all kind of mooshed together. I agree that we're not ready for a standing committee yet, but I think that we can give direction to staff to bring back some additional information, because we would need to know what would happen if we aren't, one, if we can't get it to the June ballot because we can't do it fast enough, if it gets to the June ballot and fails, what happens and how we deal with that, and we need to know if it goes to November, what does it look like on our budget starting next year?
Yeah, and I can work with the finance manager, so I'm seeing really 3 parallel tracks. My general manager's report that I address it as part of the January board meeting. I work with Rudy Hernandez, the finance manager, during his finance manager's report, which we agreed upon that because finances are such an important issue with the district right now, that he gives a regular update each month, and then he can encompass those financial impacts relating to the cost associated with the 17-18 fiscal year budget for the cost of a firefighter. And then in parallel to that, the third leg of the stool, if you will, would be Chief Hollingsworth providing some additional information relating to the 4th firefighter, separate from the information he provided last time. You don't want just redundancy, but I think Chief and I have talked a little bit about this morning, and I think, I don't want to speak for Chief, but I think we have a clear understanding of where the information the board may want from us to help you make good policy decisions.
Mr. Carmel.
And I'll go obtain the information regarding when the relevant documents have to be submitted to the county for both June and November. And I'll just email that to you so you can think about it.
It looks like there's an August date, too, if we do a mail-in. Is that?
Well, mail-ins have a different schedule. They're,
okay.
They're significantly more expensive. And we really didn't talk about that either.
Okay. Yeah. So there's more that we need to get information on.
Yeah. What is the cost? Do you know if we jumped on somebody else's ballot, is it $10,000 again?
For, 10 to 20? For a standing election, yeah. For a conventional election, it's 20 to 40 for a mail ballot election.
Okay.
And I think democracy should never cost too much because it's democracy. I mean, we don't want to have to spend, but it's part of the process. Chief Hollingsworth, did you want to add something?
Only that, President Rice, you have brought up a number of very valid questions. It would be very helpful, comprehensive understanding. The presentation I gave a few nights ago which I guess really wasn't that long ago, was fairly comprehensive but global in concept. And if you want a more precise breakdown of analyses by NFPA 1710 and 1500 that speaks directly to the issues you're talking about, I'm more than happy to give that to you. If that's part of the direction you're giving to staff, I'm more than happy to alter that presentation, make it a little bit more specific, and then just go from there, unless there's specific things you wanted me to address right now.
I don't need you to address anything super specific right now. What I do need is more information, and okay. I appreciate that you'll be able to provide a more robust information. I'm not seeing any other lights. I'm hearing, General Manager Gruber, you're feeling comfortable with the direction you've gotten from the board?
Yes, Madam. Is there further questions? I think the board's their direction's clear, but, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So instead of all these numbers swirling around in our heads, and there's, you know, we just do it. We do it incrementally, and we talk through it. And if you want to move forward, great. If you don't, then that's okay too. But, you know, our role is to provide you the information, and so you can make. Okay, I'm going to look at you now. We got five board members. That's great. So you guys, you board, can make a good policy decision. You know, we make a good team. We got district council. We got Monique, myself, Chief Hollingsworth, and Rudy kind of all involved in this and providing you the information, the data to help you make good policy decisions.
And I think we have community input, too, which is critical. I think we're at consensus. Does anyone have anything else they would like to add? Okay. The next meeting is going to be take place at 2 o'clock in January on which date? I'm sorry, I don't have it in my brain. The 18th? Okay, it's January 18th at 2 p.m. this location, Mr. Gruber.
And I want to apologize for showing up to the meeting late. I received a really important phone call at 12:02, and I had to address it, so I apologize.
You missed the whole thing about texting. You should have texted me.
I was here for that.
You could have texted me, and then I would have known. There's lots of advantages
my
and disadvantages. No. Apology accepted. I think we are adjourned.